Even dogs can play hide and seek, right? How many of you guys have, like, do you guys do tag, like, in your neighborhoods or anything? Or is that, like, too old of a thing to do? Or your manhunt or something like that at night where you deck out in all of the gear? Yeah? How many of you guys have, like, the full ninja, like, get up? I know you do, bro. Yes, I know you do. You got all the fun toys, right? Yeah, I did too. Growing up, man, tag was almost like a religion for us. We did it every Friday night, and we would all put on all of our black gear. Justin's pretty good at tag too. That was so too early. Oh, well, I don't know what that was. Okay. Well, apparently I'm not very good at tag, because I didn't know he was back there. But, like, we would have all the gear, and so we would go out. Even the adults got involved in tag, like our parents. So our church did this thing that we do here too, or sometimes we do, Fall Festival, right? But Fall Festival was a thing where we would set up the day before. And then it all night long, it would just sit there and be ready for the next day. So me and my friends were like, sweet, we can go do all sorts of great pranks on these people. As they're sitting around guarding Fall Festival, we would go tip things upside down and, like, do all sorts of craziness. So they would stay there and wait. And after a few years of doing this, like, they had, like, guard stations, and, like, they started having walkie-talkies. They would, like, coordinate all their stuff. So we would show up at 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd park in the woods somewhere, like, way down the block from our church. And we would, like, make our way through the woods, almost getting bit by snakes and the whole deal, and all of our full ninja outfits. Like, our dads are all there. Like, our whole families. There were, like, five families from church. And we would show up, and I'm not going to tell you stuff we do because they give you bad ideas to, like, do things around here and get hurt. But we would do stuff we shouldn't do on, like, roofs and stuff. Yeah. And so we would, like, get, like, tagged, and they would take us and lock us in rooms. It was, like, it was crazy. It was this whole thing. It turned into this, until eventually the head pastor was like, all right, you guys legitimately have to stop this. Someone is going to die if you keep doing this. But it was so fun. It turned into this whole thing. Like, tag can be awesome. I remember my sister was crazy about it. We were visiting our uncle in Virginia. And he had this awesome, awesome, like, property and tons of trees. And so we go out to play tag. And she had this idea that she would put on or make her own ghillie suit. You guys know what a ghillie suit is? Oh, yeah. Like, so, some of you guys know. Real patriots know this is a ghillie suit, okay? So she was going to go into the woods and just make her own out of, like, natural things she found. And she came out looking, no, not really like that, but covered in stuff. And it turned out to be poison ivy, right? So she comes out just covered in poison ivy. And we laughed at her. We're like, your ghillie suit stinks. But, like, she was so into it, she didn't care, right? Have you ever got that into a game of tag? I love playing tag. I love playing manhunt. I love those type of games. There's something about looking for people and, like, being able to find it, like, or a good treasure hunt, you know, where you actually find the thing. And so tonight what we're talking about isn't that far off. It's actually the best game of hide and seek that you could ever play. Like, on a cosmic scale, it is awesome because you don't just play a game. The thing you're finding and the thing that's finding you means that you are going to inherit the greatest thing ever given. And so this game of tag that we're talking about tonight, we find in Matthew 7:7. I'm going to read it to you. It'll be on the screens. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So right away, you can tell we're not just talking about any old game of tag. But there is this thing going on between us and the Lord where he wants us to engage in seeking and finding with him. Like, he's inviting us. Do you hear that? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Like, join in on this thing. I'm looking for you right now, he says. I want you to look for me at the same time. It's this awesome thing that he's inviting us into. He's telling us to seek. But he's given us a promise. Like, it's more than a game. It's a promise. It's this guarantee that we will find what we're looking for. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes if I feel like there's something I'm going to try to do, but I'm going to fail at it, I just kind of back off. I'm like, nah, maybe that's not for me because I don't know if I can actually pull this off, right? But if I know for sure, 100%, that it's guaranteed it's going to be a success, I have more confidence. Like, I'll go after it. And this verse is saying, if you seek Jesus, you won't fail. Like, this is a guarantee that you will find Jesus. I have a lot of conversations where people are just like, man, it's hard. Like, I don't know how I find Jesus. This whole Christianity thing seems difficult. And I like to come back to this verse and say it's actually the most simple thing you'll ever do in your life. Because you can't fail. Play hide and seek with Jesus. But instead of hiding, run out, jump out at him like Justin did. Come on out and be like, here I am. Like, I want to find you, Jesus. And he says, you can't miss me if you come look. Like, there's no fear of failure in this game. There's no feel that you're not going to be able to find him. That if you knock, the door is never going to open. He's promising it will. So how many things would you actually try? How many scary things would you step up to and say, let's do this, if you knew you weren't going to fail at them? I wonder how many things God's even calling some of you guys to do. And for a while, you've been like, man, that's too scary. I'm not going to try that. I couldn't be in Firehouse Band. I can't do that. That's too scary. I couldn't sit in a Bible study and lead a Bible study. No, I couldn't do that. Student leadership, that's, whoa, I don't know if I'm cut out for that. Like, all these different things, right? These opportunities that you have. I wonder how many you would do if you're like, I can't fail at this. This is about seeking Jesus. When I serve Christ, it's about seeking him and being found by him, and I can't fail. I wonder if that would give you more confidence to serve, step up and do the scary things, to actually try, because your success is guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Why wait? Why not say, God, what is it? Tell me. Give me a big God-sized thing that if you don't do, it's not going to get done. Only you can do this, God. That's what I want you to tell me to do. And then I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to trust you to do it. What if you prayed that prayer? What if tonight when you go to bed, instead of just asking God for things and telling him what you need and putting your requests out there, what if that was the big request for the night? Lord, give me something that you're calling me to do that's too big for me so I can trust you, because I know that if I knock, I'll seek. I mean, if I knock, you'll open. If I seek you, I'll find you. I know that it's guaranteed, this walk with you. I can't fail, right? Because see, he's not just talking about salvation here. Sometimes we make that mistake and think he's just talking about looking for him and then you'll be saved, but he's not. We need the gospel every single day when we wake up. We need to seek Jesus every day we wake up and say, Lord, here I am. Like, I'm going to need you today. I can't make it without the gospel today. And so every act of obedience to Christ is this promise of success. To say, Lord, I'll find you. I can't fail at this. I want to show you another verse. It's Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah's in this verse, he's still talking about seeking and finding, but he's saying how we should approach this. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So there is a way we're supposed to seek, right? Because there's a lot of people out there looking for just whatever. They're seeking. They want to know answers to things. And that's good. But we find Jesus when we seek him with all our heart. And so when we just go out as religious people or people that are just spiritual, there's no guarantee that you're going to find Jesus in this. You're just looking. You're not really putting a whole heart that says, Jesus, I want you. I want to find you. I'm looking for the truth. We can be easily satisfied by the things we come across and just stop there and be like, okay, well, this is good enough, you know. But when our whole heart says, I want truth. I want to find Jesus. He's like, you're going to find me. Not just this emotional scene that sometimes we put on. And we're like, man, yeah, oh, I found the Lord, and there was this great worship. And then the next day, we're back doing the same stuff we were doing, and we're not any closer to Christ. It was just this emotional moment. When your whole heart goes, God, all of me is you. It belongs to you. All of me, the whole thing, my life, my heart, my dreams, my goals, my future. God, it's yours. I give it all to you. Something different happens. Like, you don't wake up the next day and go to school and do the exact same things you've been doing. Your heart changes. Your life changes. Your mind changes. Everything starts to change because you didn't just seek him like a religious or a spiritual person. You sought Jesus with all your heart and said, it's yours. Take the whole thing. There's this town that we visit when we go to Guatemala on our mission trips. And up in this town, up kind of on the top of this hill, in the back of the village, there's this temple, and it's a Catholic church. They built it, but it's not really used necessarily just for Catholic ceremonies. And I got to walk in there one day. We were borrowing some of their little pews that they cut by hand and stuff to take out and do an activity with some children. And so when I walked in this temple up near the front, there's this table. And on the table, I saw clearly there was this cross with Jesus hanging on it, like sitting on the table. And then there was this image of Mary next to it. And then there was like 10 other statues just all across this of different things. The corn god and the sun god and a bunch that I had no idea what they were for. And they're all on the same table in this, what I thought was a Catholic church. And I'm looking like, basically every god you guys can think of is like on this table, and you're just kind of picking and choosing and worshiping all of them, hoping that maybe you'll get lucky and the right one will work. That's not seeking Jesus with your whole heart. That's like a little bit here, a little bit there. I just, maybe something will stick. Instead of saying both feet, come jumping in, Jesus, I'm following you. I want to live my life with you. And that's the difference when you're trying to really find what you're looking for. You say, God, take all of it. Take the whole thing. Psalm 63:1 says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. The way you seek Jesus with all of your heart is like this picture David gives us in Psalms of being thirsty. Like so thirsty, your tongue is swollen and there's no water anywhere to be found. And you're just longing for a drink. Your lips are dry, your tongue's dry. And have you ever been that thirsty before? Maybe at the end of a practice where your coach made you run so much and it's so hot and you're just like, I need water. You know, it's like one of those really thirsty, parched moments. This description of our soul should feel that way. I long for Jesus like he's your very survival. If I don't have this water, I die right here on the field, coach. You know, one of those moments like, Jesus, if I don't have you, my soul just can't go on. I need you. I need you for tomorrow when I wake up. I need you to make it through the day. I need to face these big things that are coming in my life. I need you there with me. I can't do this without you, Jesus. That type of thirsting. And I saw this commercial. It kind of reminded me of this. I'm going to show you this real quick, and then I'll explain it. That would be the worst moment of my life. I'm such a baby when I'm thirsty. Like, I need a drink, you know? And that's kind of how I feel. I see that in this verse, just like that thirst. Like, nothing's going to satisfy me but you. So here's a question. What satisfies you? Are you easily satisfied by things in your life? Can you quickly just see whatever's on your path and just be like, okay, that's good enough? Would you easily settle for things that are totally second or third best compared to Christ? Or are you longing for Jesus? Like, I'm in high school. I'm in junior high. It's not too soon for you to long for Jesus. For you to trust Jesus with all your heart. For you to say, God, I'm not too young for you to take me and use me in ways I can't even imagine right now. He's not waiting for you to become like some certain age. So you have your license, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now you can do something awesome for me. He's just waiting for your heart. Whatever age that might be, he's waiting for your heart. And when you come up and go, God, take all of it, I'm thirsting for you. I'm only satisfied by Jesus. I feel like today we get so satisfied. Social media satisfies us. Friendships satisfy us. There's so many things we could list. And you guys know what they are. I don't have to tell you. What are you satisfied by? I want to challenge you to thirst for Jesus. He says, seek me. You'll seek him when you thirst for him. When you're like, I long for you, Christ. I want my life to be different. I'm done with this old life. It's got a lot of shiny stuff. It's got some fun things. It's got, but it doesn't have you. Doesn't have you, and I want you in it. I want my life to be totally different. I want to live a supernatural life, something this world can't offer me. I want something better than anything I could find on this planet. I want you. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. See, this thing isn't just about emotion. It's not just this like longing and wanting to be satisfied, but it's driven by faith. It's a faith that says, Jesus, I know you're the only one who can satisfy me. This whole heart I'm giving you, I'm giving the whole heart because of my belief that you're really the only answer to my life and my problems and my lack of hope and my sin. I need you to fix all of this. And when we come with that heart of faith, it says we can't help but find him. Like, we will. There is no other option. You will find Jesus. He's there waiting for you. This game of hide and seek that we're playing is like different from the normal one, right? Because God isn't hiding from us. Like, we're the ones that need to be found. We're the ones that he calls lost. Jesus is actually out looking for us. And faith is the key to that. Not our works, not our behavior, not our religion, not these ceremonies or titles or wealth or fame. None of this stuff. Just faith. The heart of faith that says, Jesus, you've already done all the work. My seeking isn't me working. Me looking for you or knocking on the door isn't equivalent to me behaving myself or doing works. You've already done all of that. It's equivalent to me trusting you. Seeking looks like trusting. It looks like having faith to say, no one else can fix my life but Jesus. Nobody else can give me a reason to go on to another day except for Jesus. We just simply trust him. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's how I know Jesus is looking for us. Because as we walked around lost without salvation and without hope, it says Jesus came for a purpose, and his purpose was to look for me and you. He's out there looking, actively looking. And it's cool because we know Jesus is seeking us, and then he tells us, hey, seek me. So what happens when we both start seeking each other? When I was a little bit younger, I got certified to be a rescue diver, or I had a rescue diver certification. It's different than being a rescue diver. And I went... They stuck me in this big lake, and it was all like super hard to see. There was no visibility. It was only a couple foot visibility. I got taken down with this instructor, and she brought me down there and taught me how to do a search. And you learn this like search grid and all these things that you swim certain ways and use your compass, and you can find lots of stuff that way. And so she brings me down there and she teaches me, and I start doing it. And she knows, because she's taught me, where she can be, and I'll never find her. Right, she just gets outside of my grid that she taught me, and then I'll just keep going around circles. I'll never find her. But then when she jumps in and starts doing the same grid as I'm doing, we every single time bump into each other. Every time, like, because it's only a couple feet away, boom, we almost hit masks. Like, we're that close. And it's that idea of, like, Jesus is like, hey, I'm looking for you. Why don't you look for me too? And if we're both looking, we're going to bump into each other. There's no way you're not going to find Christ. He's not going to let it happen. I know I'm saying a lot of words, but I wonder how many of us are actually living the way we're talking about. Right? We want to say we're Christians. Of course I do this. Of course I seek Jesus. Of course I believe in Jesus. But what's your heart doing? Do you long for Jesus? When you wake up in the morning, are you thirsty for Christ, or are you thinking about all the other things you want out of your day? When you put your head on your pillow at night, is Jesus the last thing you think of, the last person you talk to? You take your day and lay it in his hands and tell him all the things you went through and say, this is me, Lord, I trust you for tomorrow. Or are you consumed by other things? Do you really believe he's listening? Do you pray like that? Do you pray? Some of us don't pray, and I think we don't pray because we don't really think he's listening, or we'll do anything, or Maybe we just don't care. When we pray, we show, I believe you're actually concerned with what I'm saying, Jesus. I trust you, that heart of faith. And you're all I want, and you're the only one who can do this. We might say we seek, but do you really seek Jesus? Luke 15:32 is the last one I want to show you. It says, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's talking about the prodigal son. I love the celebration that happens when a lost person is found. We're told that angels celebrate in heaven over one sinner who turns to Christ. Do you know the celebration that took place the day you believed in Jesus? Do you know the angels that are waiting to shout out and have a party for those of you who haven't done that yet? And they're waiting with anticipation as Christ's like, come on, seek me. You're going to find me. Just seek me. Hand me your heart and I promise I'll take it. I promise I'll forgive you. I promise I'll take the brokenness and the sin of your life and I will throw it as far as the east is from the west. It will be gone because I've already died for it. And I'll take you and I'll make you right with my Father and you'll have a relationship with him as his son, his daughter. And the celebration that'll happen, oh my goodness. You know, we love to celebrate. Every one of you that accepts Christ in this place, it's a celebration. It's not this weird, awkward moment. It's like, we are so excited for you that now you have a brand new life. But now you will live forever. Some of you guys, you've noticed, and some haven't, that baptism is a way we celebrate salvation. That's why this thing's sitting up here. That's why we've done baptisms. It's this way where you come forward and we celebrate with you, like this verse says, of what God has done in your heart. And some of you guys are still waiting on that. And I would say, like, take that step. Trust Jesus and celebrate in front of your peers what he means to you, that he's your whole heart, that you thirst and long for him, and let us celebrate with you. Take that step of baptism so your peers will know you belong to Jesus. So there's a lot of things that this passage leads us to tonight. Some of you, you just need to sit before Christ and you need to be like, I've never been saved. I need to be forgiven tonight and I want that. I want to know Jesus. Maybe tonight you're ready to knock on the door. I guarantee he'll answer. I guarantee he'll let you in. And maybe tonight you're just like, I don't long for Jesus. I've accepted Christ, but I don't wake up longing for him. I'm not thirsty for a relationship with him to grow closer. I'm so distracted by college choices, and I'm distracted by my friend groups and my sports and getting like really good grades, and all of these things are my distractions right now. I don't focus on Jesus, but you know what? None of those things are getting you to heaven. Your friends are not getting you into heaven. Your grades will never get you there. Your scholarships, your school choice, who you're dating, your future family can't get you to heaven. Long for Jesus. He is more important than anything else. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? The band's going to lead us in a couple songs as we close. But before they do, I want to give you the opportunity tonight to knock. And I'll be right here with you. I'll knock with you if you want to seek and see what happens, because I guarantee Jesus is opening the door to you tonight. And if you've been sitting here and you're like, I've never knocked. I've never asked him to save me. I've never asked him to forgive my sins. I know I want to be forgiven. I know I want eternal life. But I've never trusted Jesus to do it. Maybe tonight you're ready to knock and you'd say, Rob, that's me. Would you just raise your hand up and just say, like, I'm ready to do some knocking tonight. I'm ready to ask Jesus. I want to be forgiven and I want to be saved. Yeah, I see some hands going up. I see you. Yeah. Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Here's what I'd like for you to do if you just raised your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to help you knock on the door and talk to Jesus tonight. Before you walk out the back door, I'll be standing back there. Will you just stop and talk to me? Let me pray with you. And let's ask Jesus to do that tonight. And maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, I'm saved. I've done that, but I'm not waking up thirsty. I am distracted by so many other things. It's not Jesus I'm seeking. I'm seeking myself. I'm seeking other things. Rob, would you pray right now for me tonight? Just pray that God would give me that thirst for him. Would you just raise your hand up and say, that's me? Like, just let's pray that together. Yeah. Yeah, me too. Anybody else? You join us in saying that tonight? That's awesome. You put your hands down. We're going to pray for you in 1 second. But lastly, I just want to ask this. Some of you guys, you've been walking with Jesus. You trust him with all your heart, but you've never taken that step to celebrate it, to let people know through baptism that you believe in Christ with all your heart. And tonight you're ready to say, Rob, will you get me signed up? I want to do this thing. I'm ready to take that step and I want to be baptized. Would you raise your hand up? That's you tonight. You still need to be baptized. Yeah. All right. Those of you guys with your hands up, I ask you to do the same thing. Talk to me on the way out. Don't just leave. Let's take that step together. All right. Will you pray with me, Father? Lots of stuff happening tonight, God. You are doing things in our hearts. Thank you for seeking us. Thank you for doing the thing none of us can do. We're not capable of finding you, but you tell us to seek because you're already looking for us. For those who raise their hand tonight, God, to be saved, to be forgiven, I pray before they leave this place that they would come talk to me or to their leader, and tonight that they would knock on the door and accept you as their Savior and be forgiven. For those who raise their hands tonight to say, I want to wake up thirsty. I want my eyes set back on Christ. God, you saw the hands all over the room. It's most of us in here. Lord, will you do that in us? Give us a thirst for you. Give us a courage to say yes, even to scary things. Keep us from being distracted by everything else the world throws at us. And let us want you more than anything else. And God, for those who had the courage to raise their hands tonight to be baptized, I pray that before they walk out of here, God, that we can make a plan for them to be baptized. But we want to celebrate what you're doing in their lives and in our hearts. Hear us as we worship right now. God, know that we're not just singing. We're celebrating you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.